computer geek to computer chic. It's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
Apparently, no one was hearing us, huh, Russ? Oh, well. Slight technical snafu. It is the Computer Corner, the Data Doctors, Ken Colburn, and Chad Pyle here. Wishing you and yours a very happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah.
Kwanzaa. What else?
Did we leave any out?
If we did, we apologize.
We do. Our Geek Speak of the Week, shall we give that a shot?
Sure.
Okay, hang on. I'm supposed to hit a button. Here, I think it is. Nope, they took that one out.
Do a lottery.
How about this one? Oh, no. They changed it again.
What else we got? Okay. Is this is this the Polish national anthem?
I don't know what I'm doing. Forget about it.
It's the Geek Speak of the Week.
Yeah, every week we try to bring you a little verbiage from the world of tech so that you can understand. This is a very interesting. This is one I didn't even know this week.
Me neither. I stumbled across it. It's great. It's kind of scary. I hope it's not true.
Go ahead.
This week's Geek Speak of the Week is Pink Contract.
Pink Contract.
Pink. I don't know why it's pink, but it's a contract from an internet service provider to a spammer, exempting the spammer from the usual terms of service prohibiting spamming. Usually, pink contracts come about because ISPs can charge the spammer a great deal more than they would a normal client. Is that ethical?
Well, it says here, and I'm looking at another website, there exists in the soft white underbelly of the internet something known as a pink contract. Which, surely this is bad for ISPs, yes and no. It's bad news for us customers who receive this junk mail, but good news for the ISP's bank balance.
Because
they get to charge these folks huge amounts of money. A monthly pink contract can be signed off in the value range of $10,000 to $100,000 a month.
Wow.
Depending upon how well off that that spammer is.
That's amazing.
Woo! That's
shame on you, ISPs.
Yeah, it's like they've all vowed to stop spammers. Yet.
Unless the price is right.
Let's see. An experienced spammer with the proper resources can send 80 million pieces of junk mail every single day. One guy, 80 million junk messages.
Ah, man, that's a lot.
I hate that stuff.
And if they actually make money on this somehow. So
oh, yeah.
There's people that are responding to these messages.
Do the math. If 0.00%, 1% of 80 million people respond today.
Cha-ching.
Hello.
Yeah.
Folks, when you respond to spam, you're just encouraging these guys. If everybody in the world would never, ever respond to a single spam message,
well,
they'd still do it.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can help Charles. Charles, thanks for holding. How may we help you?
Well, Ken, I got a bit of a problem.
All righty.
I'm doing a PowerPoint.
Okay.
And what I want to do is I want to embed some sounds in it.
Yes.
And I have no clue and how to do that.
Well, is it a fairly recent version of PowerPoint?
Yeah, 2003.
Okay. So do you want this sound to automatically play? By the way, just as somebody that's been through a million PowerPoint presentations.
Yep.
Having sound in a PowerPoint presentation just to have it, just because you think it's cool, is really irritating for audiences.
Oh, really?
So be very careful how you do this.
Maybe something I don't want to know how to do then.
Well, to me, the sound in a PowerPoint presentation that makes sense is when you are giving folks, you know, you're having a discussion about something and that is pertinent to the discussion. Like, okay, now listen to this explanation of this, you know, whatever conference.
That's what I had in mind.
Or it's a lot of people think it's cool to have these sound effects and music and that kind of
explosions and yeah.
Yeah, it gets, you know, it's kind of cool at first and then it just becomes a real problem. So you can right click. Now, see, there's two ways to do it in PowerPoint. You can have it automatically launch when the slide opens, or you can create an image, an item on the PowerPoint slide somewhere that you click on. And when you click on it, it automatically runs that media file.
Oh, really?
And the media file can be sound, it can be pictures, it can be, you know, motion picture, it can be video, whatever you want.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, basically what you want to do is look in the insert section.
Uh-huh.
And you'll see in there that you have all these different options to insert files, pictures, movies, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So kind of follow through that.
Yeah, now I know where to go.
Yeah, the other thing is there's this thing that's in every piece of software out there that virtually no one knows about. And it's the across the menu, you're like a file, edit, view, favorites, all that.
Yeah.
The very last one in every Windows program is help.
Yep.
And in help, usually there's a index, contents and index section. So you could actually type in add video or add sound to presentation, and it would actually show you exactly where or give you the step-by-step directions on how to do that.
Uh-huh. So it works. It really works.
When all else fails...
I just did it, and you're right. There it is.
Read the manual.
When all else fails.
Yeah, well, the manual is actually not the paper manual we're all used to now. The manual in every software program is in that help section that nobody uses. And then there's a whole industry of people that are paid to create these online manuals, and virtually no one uses them.
Poor guys.
Talk about misunderstood.
Hey, listen, they've got a job. That isn't until they do all of that in India.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, having had my dose of help from India, I'm not very much encouraged.
I think the whole outsourcing is creating a lot of folks that want to have insourcing.
Yeah.
So we're keeping that sourcing in the United States here and helping our own. All right, so hopefully that helps you, Charles.
It'll work.
All right, have a happy holiday. And actually, the lesson to be learned from that is don't forget, folks, there's a help key, there's a help menu in every Windows program made.
Hotkey F1 in most programs.
See, there's your shortcut of the week.
There you go.
Shortcut of the week brought to you by Chad Pyle, Chatty Boy from Data Doctors, which is also brought to you every week in our newsletter.
Correct.
We want to thank everybody that participated. Next week, we're going to look forward into what you can expect in 2006. Mr. Disney should be joining us for that show as well, so we'll allow him to not contribute while he's here as well.
Right. Keep the momentum.
Don't forget to join us online anytime you'd like, datadoctors.com. If you missed any part of the show, you can listen to the audio archives, which are being posted as we speak. Chad Pyle, Ken Colbert reminding you, if it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
See y'all next week.